Good evening. Oh, yes, we are getting sleepy already. It's dark outside. The sun has gone down. Dinner is settled. The sugar is high, so our body is telling us it's time to go to sleep. But not quite yet. We're welcoming each other. We're welcoming the Lord Jesus Christ. We're delighting in the goodness of salvation. And so it is good to be here on Sunday evening, and I welcome all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to our church. We have a couple of things before us. Just want to, as far as the logistics of what we'll be doing at the end of all of this, we are going to, well, not quite the end, we're going to be lighting our candles. So if you have not gotten a candle yet, please let us know. We've got some in the back, and maybe Scott Morgan, if he sees a hand go up, can get one for you. So if you need one, please raise your hand. If you don't, then you're good to go. The deacons have asked me to encourage everyone to not burn down the building. So we will do our best with that. They didn't actually encourage me to do that. I just said that. But do be mindful. And I'm talking more to my boys, I think, than anybody else. So we'll make it. Well, we welcome all of you. We're delighted to be here as we rejoice in what this season means, the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Let me pray for us, and we'll get right into it. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace and for your goodness, for the joy that we have of knowing you, of being called by your name, of having as a great gift and only by grace the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, which is ours because of the love that you set upon us from before our time began. And so we ask that you would guide and bless us tonight, that you would help us to see you and your glory, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to delight in what it means to be those who belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Guide us in this, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to begin our worship this evening by standing and singing together hymn number 299, Joy to the World. Seated. As you are being seated, you can grab the Bibles in front of you, or if you have your own, grab that. We're going to be turning for our Old Testament reading to 2 Samuel chapter 7, page 309 in your pew Bibles. Chapter 7, verses 25 through 29. And this is within the context of the Lord giving to David this promise, this eternal promise of kingship, of stewardship of the throne that was Yahweh's, that had been given to David and promised then to one greater than David one day. 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 25. "And now, O Lord God, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken. And your name will be magnified forever, saying, 'The Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you.' For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true. And you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And we do, Father, ask that you would guard and keep us as we trust, even as David did, that your promises are true, that they are right, that you will bring them about for your great glory, for the good of your people, for the building of your kingdom, which is a task only you can do. And you invite us to participate in this, and for this we thank you, recognizing that if you are not the one building, and those who build labor in vain. May we not labor in vain. We ask all of this in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. It is a joyful thing, isn't it? We should have happy
songs, songs that are filled with light of foot and noise, and it is a delightful thing to sing of the coming of Jesus Christ indeed. Well, this next hymn is one of those that maybe does not have quite the emotional ethos of what we've just heard, A Little Town of Bethlehem. But it is a delightful, delightful piece as we recognize that the Lord in his sovereignty chose a certain place and a certain time to bring about the incarnation of his son, Jesus Christ. And so let's stand together and sing hymn number 323, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Be seated. We're going to turn now in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This morning we considered the first portion of Luke 2 as we looked at the story of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem, of the baby Jesus being born, of the angels proclaiming this marvelous good news to shepherds. And now we have some others who tend to be a little bit on the outside of our annual examination of the Christmas story. And I think you'll know who I mean as soon as we get to them. But we're going to begin reading there in the 22nd verse of Luke chapter 2, having left off at the 21st verse. But before we do, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, open your word to us so that we might see it and know the truths in it as you have intended, what you have revealed of yourself and what you require of us.
We ask that you would guard and keep us in your truth, knowing that your word is truth and your word is life and light. We ask that you, through your word, would shine in the darkness, knowing that the darkness cannot overcome the light of your gospel. We commit this time to you in Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him, that's Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. The hopeful patience of Simeon. You know, most of us have a hard time being patient. I think if I were to ask for hands to be raised for those who feel as though they have perfected this quality of patience, none of us would have to do much working out. And if perhaps you do think you have perfected the art of patience, then come watch my boys for a night or two and we'll see how you fare. Patience is not something that comes natural to us. It's a difficult thing because we, and especially in this day and age, live in a society that typically can meet our demands immediately. One of the things that is wonderfully convenient these days and for our family, actually incredibly not just convenient, but it makes a lot of sense for us, is we have a Walmart subscription. And when you have a Walmart subscription, as long as you're spending $35 on something, you get free delivery. And typically, within a few hours, you can get a free delivery. Well, it's Christmas season. So I put in my usual order of a few groceries, some milk and bananas and the usual things. 3 days before there was an opening in their schedule. How dare they? I want my groceries now. Patience we don't have. And here is this man, Simeon. Simeon is one who had been told at some point in his life, we don't know when it was, it could have been fairly later on in his life, could have been earlier, but it seems that he is advanced in years. We've got this comment, now, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace. There seems to be an indication that he's older. And he has been waiting for the Lord's Christ, waiting and waiting and waiting, day after day year after year. Some of us have waited months for something. Oh, that was tough. Some of us maybe even have waited years for something. Maybe some of us have waited decades for something. And then it shows up. It arrives. That thing is presented before you. Most of the time for us, it disappoints, doesn't it? That thing that, oh, I've been waiting for all this time for that thing, and oh, I've got it now. All right. Not Christ. Christ did not disappoint Simeon when he showed up on the scene. Of all of the people, I've often said, of all of the people that I want to meet on the other side of heaven, that I would have wanted to be back if I were a first century man, would be Simeon. What a marvelous privilege he had. Not only of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but also of being one who had been told, you will see this Christ, that one that was spoken of back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, this one who is going to come and be the king to sit on David's throne. You will see him. And then he saw him. Look with me at some of what Simeon said there, verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. You have given your word, you've fulfilled it. Verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And even as we rejoice with Simeon, there are following his words of celebration, words that are difficult and would have been very heavy for Mary to hear. Could you imagine being a brand new mother like Mary? She'd had this baby, Jesus, of God she knew, a miraculous conception, a miraculous situation all the way around. And then you hear Simeon say these words as he goes along, verse 34, middle. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. This wasn't the first time that Mary had an understanding that the road before her newborn son would be a difficult road. She knew that from the moment that she was told, you are the one through whom Yahweh is going to fulfill this. She would have known the Old Testament prophecies. She would have read Isaiah. She would have known what Jeremiah spoke of, what Malachi said would happen to, what all these foreshadowings and prophecies of Christ. She would have known these things. And yet, she rejoiced to be the highly favored one. She followed in faithfulness. She followed in steady obedience, even as Simeon was patient in his hope. Then lastly, let's talk for a moment about this Lady Anna. So this is, believe it or not, it's a little bit of a secret, difficult portion of the Greek text. There's not a single scholar in the whole wide world before or coming after us that knows exactly what is happening in the Greek part of this text when it comes to the enumeration of how old Anna was. Something tells me that she was one of those who's like, I'm 29 forever, so I'm just going to make this whole description of how old I am really confusing. That's not really what happened. It's just the Greek. We're not quite sure how old she was. We're not sure how the 7 years after her virginity, after a marriage, and how old she, it's not clear in the Greek. What is clear is that this gal has some miles on her. She's been around a long time. She is one who has been faithful for year after year, decade after decade. Yes, just about generation after generation. She's been in the temple. This is where she lives. Everybody, you know the type. There are certain places, certain people, where you go to that place, you can almost guarantee you're going to see that person there. Hey, there they are. How's it going? Good to see you. That was Anna, the prophetess at the temple. You went to the temple, you saw Anna. She was faithful. She was steady. She didn't have, it doesn't seem, the promise that Simeon did. But she knew when she saw Christ that the Lord was fulfilling what he had promised from long, long ago. And so she was one who was tirelessly devout. And one of the things that we must gather from this is that God tenaciously preserves his people right up until the moment that he is done with the task that he has delivered to them. He did it with Simeon. He did it with Anna. So guess what? If you're still around, that means the Lord still has some purpose, some use for you on this earth. Some of you are very young, and you think, oh, I've got, yes, many, 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 many years of the Lord using me on this earth. Perhaps. You don't know that. I don't know that. Is that a morbid thought? Yeah, but it's a very real thought. So when it comes to faithfulness, when it comes to devotion, why are we waiting around saying, oh, one day I'll get there. One day I'll say, yes, Jesus is Lord. One day I'll say, okay, I am committing myself to fulfilling the purpose the Lord has for me. Don't wait. Tomorrow may never come. And that is the simple reality of life on this side of eternity. A sad one, yes, but a very real one. But there's an encouragement in this too. Not just for the young ones, but for the old ones. If you're still around, the Lord is still using you. Anna, how many people do you think walked past her and thought, oh, she's still around? I saw her last Passover. My goodness. I don't believe she's, I mean, she was looking pretty rough last time. I can't, when is she going to get out of here and stop bothering us as she proclaims the Lord's grace? The Lord uses the young, the middle-aged, and the old. He has a purpose, and he tenaciously preserves his own for his glory right up until the moment that he calls them home to be his. And it's a privilege to be part of that. Look at Simeon. Look at Anna. Can you imagine? Do you think that either one of them for a moment thought, in 2023, of course, they wouldn't have been enumerating it by B.C. and A.D. In 2023, the corner of Boiling Springs and Devonshire Road, they're going to be talking about us one day. What do you think about that, Simeon? Anna never said that. Simeon never said that. But here the Lord, in his grace, is celebrating their faithfulness as an example for our faithfulness. No, nobody's going to talk about you and me 2,000 years from now because the canon of Scripture is closed. So that's precluded. But what about the faithfulness of the Lord? Will they be talking about it more because of your faithfulness today in 2,000 years? One of the things that we see all through Christian history is those tiny threads of redemptive heritage where this one person shared the gospel message with one other person who shared it with one other person, and then 10 years later, there was an entire society that was devoted to the gospel. Are you going to be one of those threads, or are you going to be one of those that off it goes? Proclaiming the goodness. That's what Anna did. Did you pick up on that right at the end? We look there at verse 38. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Well, we're not waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, but we are waiting for the return of the king that Simeon and Anna had the privilege of seeing. And I wonder, not just about you, but about me, is our waiting as hopeful, as devoted, as tenacious as that of Simeon and Anna? Hope is something that you don't just have sit there and stay. Hope is something that you have to hold on to, sometimes fight for. Is that what your hope is looking like this Christmas? Knowing that one day Jesus is going to return. Might be in our lifetime, could be tomorrow. Who knows? We don't know what it's going to be. It could be 10,000 years from now. But what has the Lord required of us? He has committed to us that which is ours, faithfulness with the task delivered, stewardship of what has been given to us. Matthew 25, those three servants, two of whom were faithful, one of whom was not. The talents were delivered to them. The first two, they were faithful stewards. And the Lord said to them when he returned, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Not so the third servant, though. He got thrown out into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's your goal in life? We're not there yet, are we? That's a New Year's Eve or a New Year's sermon. Your goal for the next year, all of your resolutions and whatnot. Mark as your goal for this Christmas to have as the one thing that you desire, the one thing that you pursue with everything that you are, hearing those words from the Lord, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." If that can be the thing that is ever before you, you will do no wrong. You will pursue no wrong if Christ is always your goal. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that in your word, you have preserved the story of these who are faithful to wait for your day, to wait for your Messiah, to, with all of their hearts and their minds and their being, their bodies, to wait and long for that day when your Christ would come. And you are faithful to your word to them. And you are faithful to your word to us. And so we ask that you would guide us, that we would be those who are faithful like Simeon and Anna to wait for that day, either when you call us home or when you come to dwell on earth. We ask that we would be counted as those who are faithful and hear those blessed words from you one day. "Well done, good and faithful servant." Knowing that even in the darkness of this life, the marvelous joy and truth is that your light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, it will not, and it cannot overcome it. For this we thank you and we praise you. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, get your candles ready and handy. Don't get too scared as some of the lights go out. We're going to have plenty of light from the candles, but only the candles and maybe some of the others. We're going to stand and sing hymn number 315, and that is "Silent Night, Holy Night." as you go. Go in the blessings of the Lord. May the love of God the Father and the grace of Christ the Son and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go as you go with you as you go from here, proclaiming the goodness and the salvation of the Lord, which is yours and gives you peace with God both now and forevermore. Amen.